Welcome back to another episode of This Is Your Show, a podcast for people who just need a place to vent about their issues or chat with somebody. For people who are experiencing hardship or success, a place where people can feel safe to come and celebrate their winnings, as well as ask for help while they feel they are not winning so much. I've been both high and I've been low, but what got me through both of those experiences was the people that love me and support me. If you feel like you don't have that in your life, I'm extending an invite to be your friend or just somebody to listen. Let's get started. Are you new to podcasting? Does it seem overwhelming trying to get a hold of where to start? Have you been doing it for a while and have a lot of content built up but don't have the time to edit? Fortunately, from being the executive editor for my own podcast, I have become rather efficient at it. I am offering my service to edit podcasts no matter what level your show is at. If you need a sole editor for your show, or even just an extra editor on your team, please reach out to me at tylerfriedelproductions@gmail.com. I have different plans available to help an array of people in the podcast world. One thing many of us have come to realize since the lockdown due to COVID is we may be apart, but we can still connect and share ideas with each other via the internet. Let me help you get your story out there. Share with me the vision you have for your show and I will help you get it there. Wherever you are in your stages of creation, I want to help you take it to the next level. Thank you for listening. Let's get back to the show. Brian Skeel, the man of Skeel, who has the Skeel appeal. Okay, that's enough. But seriously, this guy seems to do a bit of it all and needs his own superhero theme song. He's a music producer and composer, and he's also a mentor. He speaks from the heart and knows how to inspire you to be the best at what you do. I had such an amazing time getting to know him more after our six-month cohort ended with six-figure songwriting. I was blown away only a few minutes ago when I saw his Instagram post revealing he's working on music for a brand new video game. I cannot wait to see what that ends up being. I have set forth my intentions and have asked the universe to provide me the opportunity to work with Brian in the very near future. Here's our chat.
Oh, hello.
Well, hello, Brian. How's it going, bud?
Pretty good now that you're here.
That's good. That's good.
How's your week been?
Been actually really good. Busy but beneficial. Like I tweeted Jim Carrey this morning. I've been sharing with Ari a whole bunch of his inspirational videos because he's all about manifesting the life that you want.
He really is. I remember watching his little featurette about Jim and Andy.
Yeah.
Wow. I wanna hang out with him.
I know. And so I shared with Ari, he did a speech at a graduation and he was saying you can fail doing what you don't like, so you might as well try something that you love, right? Try and succeed. And it's such an inspiration. He goes, just ask the universe for what you want and then let go of how it's going to come to pass. Just allow it to happen whenever it happens. And if it's taking a long time, it's because the universe is filling my order, he says. You know, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a shot. And I just a quick tweet. This is my podcast. I've been using your speeches to help inspire people. Thank you. Would you let me interview you? And I'm going to leave it there.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
Wouldn't that be something?
That sure would.
So, yeah, welcome to This Is Your Show. It's just Spitfire, man. Like, how have you been? I've never had the chance to formally talk to you. So this is really exciting, man. For me.
Yeah, man. Dude, everything's awesome. So we ended the cohort for six-figure songwriting through Catch the Moon a couple weeks ago. And the past several months have just been me working with tons and tons of really talented artists from all over the world. And so what I'm doing now is I'm kind of pivoting my business into more of a production role. I'm also making a lot of connections with music supervisors and music libraries to help pitch some of the stuff that I've been involved with over the past couple months.
Good for you. Yeah, that's a really exciting step, man.
I also just got a job at my old university teaching electronic composition.
I saw your post. How exciting is that?
I'm so blown away. Like a friend of mine told me that the highest level of flattery was being asked by your alma mater to come back and teach.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. That is so awesome to just have that, just that, just to be able to live in that for a moment. And then you're going to be able to learn more about yourself through this whole experience now. It's just so, so exciting for you. Good for you.
I'm quickly learning like how on top of it you have to be as a teacher. I was thrown into this course like maybe a month, maybe a few weeks before semester started. And I'm still, don't tell the students, but I'm still building the program.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we got a great trajectory, a lot of really cool stuff coming, but just the level of planning cannot be underestimated.
Absolutely. I'm along the same lines because not only do I have this podcast, but I'm still learning production. I'm helping a friend set up his home studio and we're doing a commercial for his, like he's got a fabrication business. So we're, you know, I'm getting into all different kinds of things right now. And I got another podcast up and starting here soon. And so, like you said, it's underestimated the amount of dedication it takes, but when it's your passion that's driving it,
then it's all that matters.
It's all that matters. All that matters. Absolutely. So yeah, that's, wow. That's really exciting. So where did you start? Were you an artist before, or were you always just on the, like, did you like the production side right from the get go? Or like, did you like go around busking? Like I was a solo artist. I was in a band, you know, I did the artist thing, but now I'm feeding my passions with the production side, actually doing the things that I never knew how to do before.
Well, so when I was a kid, I wanted to be the next fastest guitarist in the universe. Like I looked up to artists like John Petrucci of Dream Theater, Alex Lifeson from Rush, Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, cats like that. And so I would spend my days at home locked in my bedroom, just learning guitar. I would skip lunch at school, go straight to the band room and, you know, shred as much as I can just to learn as much as I could about that. Realized shortly after, first of all, it doesn't pay. As well as I thought it would, but also there's this whole other world of sound that I was completely oblivious to. I remember I was listening, like, and this kind of illustrates how weird I was as a kid slash still am as an adult. But like, I had this miniature like Radio Shack boombox, and I must have been like 16, 17, and I was bored. It was like the middle of the night, so I had it just planted on my face, and I was just kind of switching between the modes. And there's one mode that makes it switch between FM and FM stereo. So there, when it's an FM, everything's collapsed down, it's mono. And so I would switch between that with like these heavy metal bands I would listen to. And I'm like, oh my God, there's this wall of sound that I never really even recognized by, you know, sitting on the other side of the room with a stereo pointed at me. So I became very interested in why does it do that? What makes sound do sound? And so I got some programs to help me learn production, FL Studio, back when it was Fruity Loops. This was like Fruity Loops 3. And Cakewalk Guitar Works, I think it was called, before they had Sonar, before they were bought by BandLab and Gibson. And I learned the ins and outs of what does an envelope do? What does EQ do? And it was purely self-taught stuff. So around 2006... my favorite artist at the time, whose name is Cell Dweller, it's a one-man act who does like this hybrid electronic rock kind of thing that's really cool, started a remix competition with some of his music. And me knowing very little about the production side, but like still being a very, very big fan of his, I jumped in and I thought this would be a really cool opportunity for me to see what he does, what's under the hood, and kind of mess around with the stuff that he does. And so what I didn't know at the time was there would be a thriving community that also did these remixes. And so I had so many people that I could bounce questions off of, like what's the ratio do in a compressor, or how do you know when something's loud enough, or critique my mix, stuff like that. And I quickly became friends with a lot of people that I'm still friends with today. One of them, we are still writing music after about 14, 15 years of knowing each other through this community. And it allowed me to very quickly learn a lot of the stuff. I wasn't done yet, and I decided to go back to school. And I was around 24. Capital University was offering this really cool program called Music Technology, in which I could learn about mixing, about recording, about production. But it also taught me a lot about how to talk, how to present myself, how to be professional. And all of those experiences combined were really essential to fast tracking me to learn more about production and kind of get me to where I am today. And then everything since that has been practice, building my repertoire, building connections and reaching out to people, and just bettering myself as a producer, as a person, and as a communicator.
Wow, that's awesome. Like, what excellent skills to have in any aspect of life, but to feed that right directly into your passion, man, that's really cool. Everyone's passion comes from somewhere, and you wouldn't have your dreams today if you didn't have them when you were younger. And it's neat how it revisits you. You know, I feel the same way with a lot of the things that are coming into fruition now that since we've graduated Six Figure. I've met all these people. 10 years ago, I was in the World Championships of Performing Arts and met people from 60 some countries in Los Angeles. Centralized Los Angeles downtown. It was nuts, man. It was a party of the worlds when it was all done. And when we were dancing on the big concrete pad, there were so many people going like this that I stood completely still and the ground was fluctuating like a wave, man. It was insane being there. But I had made all these connections with all these people and I haven't seen any of them for 10 years. We stayed in touch and whatnot. But now I have a means to revisit those seeds that I planted way back when. And it seems like it was always meant for a reason, right?
That's super cool. I love that.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's really neat. And for you to be able to go back to your school where you learn so much and to pay that forward and plant new seeds in other people, man, like Michael Averill and I talked about life being like a garden. You know, you hang out with people who are being fruitful, you can't help but bear your own fruit.
It's true. It's true. And I hope to, we just had our second class on Monday. And I can already tell that I'm going to be as inspired by these students as hopefully they will be inspired by me, because I'm already listening to their drafts of their compositions and they're just blowing my mind. Just stuff that I could never do when I was 20, 21. And they're coming out with these amazing songs. Like, they're great songs, like great hooks, great melodies, but they're also produced and mixed extremely well. And this is like their first draft. Like, what the heck was I doing?
I know. I've gone to multiple Nickelback concerts because they're my favorite band, with a shitty recording of me in my bathroom with a laptop microphone. And the one time their bass player, I was like, yo, Mike. And he's like, yeah, throw it up here. And I passed it to him and he put it in his cargo pocket. He stopped playing his bass like mid-song and put my demo in his pocket. And all the security guards were all around me like, what are you doing? And he's like, it's okay, guys. It's okay. It's okay. And then he pulled his guitar around and kept on going like mid-song. I was like, this is awesome. This is where it all starts. And like, he probably just threw it out when he went backstage. It wasn't that quality or whatever. But you're right. Nowadays, technology seems to be ingrained in our DNA, and the things that are coming from the younger generation. My daughter is one of them. I'm excited to see what she's going to produce. We're homeschooling now, and technology is part of her regimen, and I get to choose how we're going to tackle the technology subject.
Absolutely.
DAW, how about?
Yeah.
She gets to learn Ableton. I have a launch pad. It comes with Ableton Lite. She's going to get a laptop for school. It's going to be part of her curriculum. So
super fun, man.
Yeah. At the age of 12. And when I was 12, yeah, when I was her age, my dad gave me a karaoke machine that would play audio on one side and record on the other. And I'd take the microphone and I would play NSYNC and Backstreet Boys on my other CD player and record the audio and then play it and sing over top of it onto the blank tape. And I'd make a demo.
So you would dub your own cassettes.
My own cassettes over top. You would hear them in the background because I had no way of taking their voice out, but I could still sing over top. And before I hit puberty, I could hit all the notes. And so that's kind of where it all started, at the same age as my kid. Now she's playing ukulele and she can come up to this keyboard and start riffing things. I'm like, where are you coming up with all of that? She's like, I don't know. The world is changing, but we get to change with it. And that's a really exciting time to be here.
It is. It really is.
Before we continue, let's take a moment to thank my sponsor. Wait a minute, I don't have any yet. It's tricky to get this sponsor thing figured out between the US and Canada. I started to wonder, how can I be my own sponsor? What can I do for you? I am a lover of customer service. How can I make this a win-win-win? What do you need that I have? Maybe you're feeling lost or disconnected from the people in life that matter to you. Maybe you're missing the celebrations of everything life or even death. Maybe I could help you bridge that gap. A song designed to say exactly what you want to say in the way you want to say it? A song just for that person or occasion? A custom I love you song? Especially now, since the ways in which we connect with each other have been turned upside down, a song could really bridge that gap. What if you could reach the people you love and say, I love you, I'm proud of you, congratulations, happy birthday, happy anniversary, congratulations on your wedding? Or maybe you need a first dance song inspired by the love that brought you to your special day. I would love to help you with that. My heart, my voice, my musical skill, my love for customer service, my love of people makes us the perfect fit to make this happen. You tell me who, what, and why with an interview, and off we go. You get a custom song to tell that person how much they mean to you. Imagine the smile when they hear their song. Imagine the warm feeling you'll have knowing that you've brightened somebody's day. You win because you get to do something special for someone you love. They win because they get to know how much you love and care for them. I win because I get to do something I really love that I'm good at and be my own sponsor for this podcast. Together, we can roll into this new reality with compassion, caring, and fun. Please contact me at tylerfriedelproductions@gmail.com.
So you're a dad too, right?
I am. I have a five-year-old who is about to start kindergarten in just a couple days, actually.
Exciting. Kindergarten. Yeah. Wow.
Exciting, terrifying in these weird, unprecedented times.
Yes. No
but
kidding.
He's excited. We're excited. And it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good.
That's awesome. Kids are the bomb. That's what it's all about. Getting to pass along the torch. The ones that we created. If there's no creation that I've made that I'm more proud of, it's my child.
And he's all about creating too, but he's a doer. He does stuff with his hands. Like, he has an affinity for Legos that reminds me of when I was seven.
Yes, my house is scattered constantly with Legos.
Right. And so when he's not watching TV or he's at school or anything like that, he's building something with Legos, and it's so much fun.
Yes, creation.
He always wants me to play Lego fight with him, which is where we just build something monstrous and then have them go at each other.
Yes, and then just destroy them.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, we built Transformers and stuff like that, but it were all out of like the pink girly Legos that we bought. So she'd have like a girly Transformer. I would take all like the windows from the cars and stuff and I'd bolt them on, and she's like, wow, that looks like a real Transformer, but it's all pink. It was so cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And then she got into stop motion animation. She can get that app where you take a picture of your Lego, move them a step, and they just keep going with it. And so we've messed around with that. We made about a 3-minute long video and a storyboard behind it and everything. So that's also going to be in our curriculum because we get to.
That's dope, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very exciting because we're both setting our schedules for each other. I get to work at home and follow my passion, and so does she. So,
man, I love that.
Yeah, man. Definitely. And I can't wait to work with you because I know that that's on my list, man. I know that you and I are going to make music together. I've got ducks that are lining up, and they're lining up beautifully. So sooner than later, I can see it in our future. So,
dude, whenever. I'm always working on something cool. And I'm always excited to work on more cool stuff.
Certainly. Yeah. And it's neat because up until the graduation, I was really just set on learning Ableton and everything. And then after it all ended, a bunch of people became free because they weren't doing other projects. So now I've got irons in the fire all over the place, and it really feels good to be a part of a lot of collaborations. Exactly.
I think at one particular time I was working with about 10 artists at once.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I quickly had to, like, I can do all the styles. Like, I can, as a producer, you need to know how to morph your sound into what the artist is looking for. And that's something I'm really good at. But the one thing that I learned very quickly I wasn't very good at was the project management side. And I thankfully have an amazing wife who, she does project management as her job. So she's like, oh yeah, here's like five things, like five products that you're going to need, and you're going to need to learn them all tomorrow. if you want to dig yourself out of this hole. But it was great though. Like she showed me the ropes for things like Asana, email system for customer relationship type stuff. Cool. And I'm slowly learning how to lean on that stuff to make myself faster at that kind of stuff without having, like, you know that scene in The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones, where Sean Connery's like, I write it down in my diary so I don't have to remember.
That's right.
Is that whole thing of like, make sure you get it out of your brain because you will absolutely forget to mix that song when you get home tonight.
Absolutely. And I've found that since starting the cohort, because so many good ideas, they would come and they would go and they maybe come back a few months down the line, but I wouldn't remember the full thing. So I'm documenting everything that I can now, just because Michael Averill showed me that you can find a song or a topic for anything in anything.
Yeah, it's true.
My podcast has helped me in that aspect because I not only get to have our conversation, I get to go back and I listen thoroughly to the audio. Like if it's a half an hour recording, I will spend a couple of hours going through it all and just, you know, making sure everything sounds smooth and whatnot. And I get to really reconnect over a longer period of time with that conversation that I've had, and it's documented now, and it's something that I get to reiterate. And then, like you said, it just becomes a natural thing where it's, you don't have to remember it. It just becomes you.
It's true. I edit podcasts as well. And one of them I've been working on for almost the entire year. It's called Creative Elements. It was started by my friend Jay Klaus, and it's all about how to make a business out of your art. So it's great for freelancers, and how to tackle the business side where us creative types are maybe not the best at picking that up right away. So he brings in people like Seth Godin and James Cross and so many amazing people with great insight. And I find myself going in and editing out those ums and uhs. And what happens though is I'm really spending time concentrating on a lot of these lessons and a lot of what these geniuses are saying. And it's so much cooler for me to do that because like I'm forcing myself to listen to this, which is better than having it in the background and passively taking in some of this information, because it's not going to stay in there if it's passive. Mm-hmm. So if you want to really get information out of a podcast, find the people that are doing that podcast and have them let you edit it.
Yeah. And it's so awesome because I take little synchronistic serendipitous signs throughout my day. And I've literally been putting that together to pitch myself because it's something that I'm doing now. And this is my day job. And so whatever avenue, if I can make commercials, if I can edit video, whatever it may be, that was going to be one thing that I offer. I'm editing my own podcast. Let me edit yours. And yeah, it would bring that connection even closer to me. And you're right, you get to dive right into those lessons that you learn. Like Cinder Ernst, she was my first guest, and I've listened to hers and my episodes multiple times. And I also edited the thing. And so you just never get tired of it when there's that much awesome content that you genuinely connect with, because I'm learning. So much of us are exactly alike. We just have different faces, different body shapes, different skin colors, but we are all so very much alike.
It's true.
We all seem to want the same things. And it's not even just the cohort. I see friends on my Facebook and my Instagram that it seems like there's a shift happening in all of mankind. It seems that a lot of people are coming to that, look, I'm going to follow my passions. And I know it happens regularly, but to me, I seem to be noticing it in a lot more of my friends and family, where people are starting to really focus on what's more important. And maybe this pandemic is what cause that everybody really had to internalize and realize what was the most key things in their lives, because they had to say goodbye to quite a bit of stuff.
They had to say goodbye to quite a bit of stuff, but a lot of these people are spending more time at home and they have to sit there with their thoughts. And yes, so that's a perfect opportunity to figure out what's important and what's not.
That's right. And exactly. You're sifting through it all now because you can't go anywhere. And what's left in that strainer is all the nuggets of gold, where it's like, you know, these are the things in my life that keep me going. All that other stuff is just static and powder. It disappears eventually. It dissipates. But what's left after I've sifted through all of that crap, if it's the gems that are embedded in my passions, you want to follow that. You just want to keep following that energy. It's nuts. I can't say it enough. I started documenting the numbers on my phone and stuff and really meditating every day when Six Figures started. And now I'm audibly hearing things in my dreams. Like I used to lucid dream before where you notice you're dreaming and then you can do things in your dream. And so I'm audibly like waking up in the middle of the night and hearing messages like you're getting there and just encouraging things. And whether it's my subconscious or whatever, because I don't know what would cause that, but whatever it may be, I wake up and then something happens in my day that confirms that message that I heard. So
that's super cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And Ari and I talk constantly on the phone because we're all 9 hours apart or whatever. I mean, we're not all 9 hours apart, but it's crazy. He wakes up kind of as I'm getting ready for the evening. So I'm just chilling out. So we get time to talk and, I've shown him a lot of law of attraction things too in the last couple of days. And now he's showing me things already. It's really cool.
Ari's a super fun guy.
Absolutely. You know what he told me to say? He told me to say hi to you, but to say it like this.
But say it like, skello, my dude.
He's like, you got to say skello, but say it like that.
That's something Jack Black would say, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounded exactly like him. And he has gotten on the phone and played Tenacious D for me. Lots. It's insane. He's really good at it.
Yeah, he's an unreal musician.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody is so talented. And I just can't wait to see more and more creation. Like everybody, like that John put in the alumni group, you know, like there was that contest or something. A bunch of other people won some more stuff. And it just... I'm so happy for everybody. Everyone just keeps winning.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all in this together. We're all here to help each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. The alum group is still alive and it seems like it's going to be organized extremely well. Maria is doing a fantastic job of holding the reins, but delegating.
Yes.
I recently offered up my services to keep the listening sessions going.
Mm-hmm. I saw that post.
And I'm really excited about that because I feel like there's a huge need for people to get that kind of critique for their stuff. Like if they're going to be pitching their own music, they need to be confident. And if I can help them with that confidence, if it's just something like, hey, you know, this is great, vocal needs to be higher, or hey, that snare drum, you know, switch it to something different. I'm very, very happy to do that because we're all winning. We're all winning together and we can't do it ourselves. It's what I loved about this cohort was everybody was kind of coming together and helping each other. Like we all came from very, very different backgrounds. We all came from very different levels of expertise, but there's talent in all of us, like you said. And so we need to do everything we can to encourage each other and help each other follow our dreams because that's what makes the world a better place is everybody's actively following their dreams and we're all grinding together. What's better, honestly?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a machine works with every single nut and bolt, with every single tiny cog, every single wire, every single little component makes the whole component. And sometimes the smallest short in a wire will kill your engine. I worked in service for the longest time. Customers' vehicles have sat in my shop for weeks on end and you find a broken wire and that's all it has been. And so do not overlook the importance of every single path that you cross because absolutely they're there for a reason. And this cohort is unlike any group that I have been a part of. I've been part of a lot of networking groups and whatnot, and they've all been great. This one just got a different energy entirely and I love it. I absolutely love being a part of it. Yeah. And I can't wait. Like I keep referring like Adam Sandler's family, you know, like all his group of people that went and did big things together. I feel like our group is going to be one of those groups where they're like, wow, where did all these people come from? Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, when they pulled schools and everything, we never got a chance to meet each other, you know, but we still took what we had and we were forced. And a lot of people have said that the video thing has opened the doors to collaborate with people you normally wouldn't because there are no barriers there, right? I'm working with a guy in Israel for crying out loud. It's awesome. He took me for a walk the other day to the ATM and showed me his money. And like, this is my neighborhood. And I went on my deck. He's like, oh, Western buildings. I miss the Western architecture. Really cool. Never in my life have I had that experience. And so it's really neat that, yeah, we were deprived of some stuff because of the pandemic. I think that we turned it into something way bigger than that.
We got to zero in on some really cool stuff.
Certainly did. And we connected in a different way, I think, than we ever would have. A lot of us really like heart to heart. Like I said, in a lot of those calls, especially the listening session after the blackout, and everybody was in tears. And I said, I feel like we just virtually hugged everybody, even though none of us are remotely close to each other. I feel like I was just embraced by every single person in this call.
That was a super powerful moment.
What did I tell you? Brian inspires me every time we connect. As a fellow creator, I can resonate with his drive to express himself in the world while also reserving a large portion of his intentions for others. The world will know peace once we all take a page from Brian's book, an inspirational comic, if you will, about a man whose passion fills his heart and his actions could quite possibly one day save the world. Thank you for tuning into This Is Your Show. My name is Tyler Friedel, and I will talk to you soon.